A Gao Media Station, ESPN, 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're all here for the final hour of The Usual Suspects.
Why, I oughta.
ESPN 97.5. I hate when you do inside jokes like that. No one knows what's going on.
Okay.
Hey, you know, with everybody catching on to this suspect thing and the way that, you know, we had the texter that said they had a great time at the Deep Purple show. We'd like to give back. We had another opportunity right here, right now. We're going to give you a chance to win. Wrestling superstar Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy are coming to Warehouse Live Thursday, September 26th. That's this Thursday. And ESPN 97.5 wants to send you to the show. Caller number 14 at 713-780-3776. You win two tickets to the show and see the band perform live. They entertain and remind fans what rock and roll is all about, invoking dirty, sweaty jubilation and doing it loudly. For tickets and show information, I just read what they put here, Barry. For tickets and show information, head to warehouselive.com if you don't win them. But again, you have your chance right now, 713-780-3776. Good luck.
I knew he had a band back when I watched wrestling. Chris Jericho was already talking about his band. Yeah. At one point, though, I thought you maybe switched and we were promoting Alice Little again.
Yeah,
the dirty,
I didn't write
sexy,
this.
Sweaty
and boy,
stuff.
Got to talk to Courtney about that.
Why?
Because the phone number is 913-780.
913.
Right there.
Huh? You don't know our phone number?
I said our phone number. I got the read right, pal.
Interesting.
I rest my case.
NFL power rankings are out.
Yes, yes, indeed they are.
Oh, the only reason you know about this is because your Packers are fifth. That is the only reason care about the power rankings.
Completely not true.
No.
Didn't even know where they were resting on this list. I saw Stephen A.
Nick, you ever seen a liar? Well, look out here.
I saw Stephen A.'s list today.
And?
And his top five. And he did have the Packers on it. Okay.
I mean, they were fifth. They were the lowest rated undefeated team.
I was going to say, at this point in the season, it's all about the undefeated teams. And it's early.
They're the lowest rated 3-0 team. Actually, I take that back. The Niners are at 11. Bills at 12.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So take that.
Okay. If you care, your Texans are at 2-1 or ranked 10th.
That's pretty good for what we saw was coming this season.
Listen, this is a team that if Aaron Colvin learns how to play bump and run and listens to Romeo Crennel, wink, wink, I don't know if that was actually the dropping 3 men in prevent didn't help either.
Nope.
But if not for that, not for that Drew Brees comeback.
They had to bring Aaron Colvin's name and the show was going so
well. This is a 3-0 team. And we thought they would start, 1-2. They're 2-1. Could be 3-0. And that,
Could be a lot worse, and the way the offense has looked, and I just think, and I was telling Lisa this,
they may have
the
figured
game
out the offensive line now by moving Sharping to left guard.
He's special, man. His ability to elude tacklers and to elongate plays and survive in that pocket, and man, he's something special.
All right, so your top 10, starting with number 1, the Patriots, number 2, the Chiefs, 3, the Rams. That might be a little high.
Yeah, you know
as
what?
Much as they as shaky as they have looked at times.
Watching them the other night, the Gurley thing still puzzles me. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten a full blown explanation. I don't expect now, looking at him the other night, that he'll ever be the same.
It could be. Sometimes it happens. We talk about that in the fight game where a guy has this grueling fight, win or lose, that like the Gotti Ward trilogies. Guys are never the same after that. And sometimes it happens with running backs. There's a certain injury or something that happens, and they're never the same. And that could be the case with Gurley. I mean, he's just whatever has happened for him is
yeah, I mean, they're doing load management already. And even when they don't, when they on the broadcast, when they were highlighting the amount of touches he used to get as opposed to what he gets now and how effective he was as opposed to where he is, I don't think he ever is going to be the same. And they're paying him a boatload of money.
So Rams at 3, Cowboys at 4. Your Green Bay Packers, the Fightin' Cheese at 5. Mm-hmm. Ravens at 6. Saints at 7. Vikings 8. Seahawks 9. Texans 10.
I think the Texans are better than the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks got to have to figure out their run game.
That's always the case, and they don't have enough explosive weapons in the offense aside from Russell Wilson. So, you know, they've got Lockett, but that's about it. I just think the Texans are better than the Seahawks. We'll see what the Ravens turn out to be. I know that on ESPN, I think they still had them in the top five. But, you know, looking at it right now, it's too early to say because you're going to take all the undefeated teams and elevate them. But I think, like you said, San Francisco, Buffalo, teams like that, there's going to be teams that are there now that aren't going to be anywhere close to it by the end of the season.
Niners are at 11, Bills at 12, your Detroit Lions 2-0-1 at 13. Bears 14, Eagles 15. And then all the losers like the Chargers and Colts and whatnot.
Well, you look at that Bears team now as opposed to how everybody thought they were a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
Trubisky still didn't look good to me last
night. No, I didn't think so.
And it's crazy that from an offensive perspective, if you go no huddle, it can make many quarterbacks look better than serviceable or look better. But I just, as good as that defense is, I can't see them going very far if he continues to play as bad as he's played, especially when you had guys like Lewis Riddick at the start of the year calling him Maserati Mitch and saying, wait till you see what he's going to do this year. He's going to set the world on fire. Mm. Well, no, he sure didn't. He looked terrible.
Yeah, and it was funny because they showed him and Mahomes and Deshaun Watson from that draft class a couple years ago. And how, when you look at the numbers, I think Deshaun's a couple of touchdowns behind Mahomes, although Mahomes has done it in less games. Mm-hmm. But Trubisky's not even close to being in their league as far as production.
And they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
They traded up to get the first quarterback off the board, and he's the worst quarterback of the three.
And you didn't, yeah, boy.
Just not good.
Your bottom five, starting at the bottom, 32, the Dolphins, 31, the Jets, the Bengals at 30. Redskins at 29, and the Cardinals at 28.
I don't know how the Redskins aren't worse than the Bengals and maybe the worst team in football. The Dolphins and then the Redskins. Redskins look so bad.
Yeah. Worst team in football is hands down the Dolphins. So just hands down.
I didn't know this either, but did you know that the Dolphins owner is enamored with Michigan? He's a Michigan alum, and he's enamored with Harbaugh.
Ooh.
And they're talking about the fact that, you know, would he be interested in Harbaugh? And I mean, you just made this, you know, this hire for Brian Flores.
Yeah.
And he comes from the Patriots. And you know that it's going to be a project rebuild. So don't screw with it. I mean, and who knows? Everybody said, well, Harbaugh's a better pro coach. I can't believe how many different get out of jail free cards Harbaugh's going to get out of this, no matter how good he was with the Niners.
And that goes a long ways, though, man.
I guess.
Long way.
But boy, I'll tell you what, and that's why I kept saying to you on and off the air, look, it doesn't matter if you win 10 games at Michigan. You have to beat Ohio State. You have to win against ranked teams, and you have to get that team at least every so often into the playoff. He hasn't done any of the above. I think he's 0-6 against Ohio State. I know that he hasn't gotten to a playoff. I know he's 3-3 against Wisconsin, and against ranked teams ranked 10th or higher, he's awful.
Well, I mean, it's funny because, you know, Saban was a good college coach at LSU, goes to the Dolphins, doesn't do well, goes back to the college ranks, and obviously the rest is history. So maybe Harbaugh's the opposite. Maybe Harbaugh's the opposite. He's a good NFL coach, goes to the college ranks, and at Michigan gets a premier job, doesn't do as well. Maybe he will do better with better coaches around him in the pro ranks and better players.
And it's possible, because when Green Bay had a coaching vacancy, I was fine with them looking at Harbaugh because it was impressive what he did with the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if you're the University of Michigan and you have an alum like that, and he's so dedicated to being there, that when you look at it, you have to weigh it out and go, if I'm going to get rid of him, who can I get to replace him? And if you can get a big name, a young and up-and-coming guy, or a guy that can really add some oomph to the program, go ahead. I just don't know if that guy is out there. Urban Meyer's not going there, obviously.
Right.
He's a Buckeye, and if he's not going to be at Ohio State, everybody is saying that he's going to end up with USC next year. But of big names or names that could be out there, I don't see anybody that's bigger, could be better for recruiting or anything else than what they have right now in terms of Harbaugh.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is he's got to change the offense. He's got to open it up. I mean, he's got to be more pro style.
Look what they did at LSU.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's exactly where I was going to go. If you look at the success of Joe Burrow, you have to also link that back to the fact that they opened up the offense. They changed things. Ogeron was open to it because that's what football is. And if Michigan was willing to do more of that, and you know, Harbaugh's Mr. Offensive Mind, he wants to get into the play calls and do all those things. If he's willing to go a little more hands-off and open it up to a guy that has that kind of experience, it could change a lot for Michigan.
It really could. That's a team Michigan should be in it every year.
I agree.
I mean, when it comes to recruiting, Ohio State and Michigan should be the Bama and Georgia or Bama and LSU of the SEC. And Michigan hasn't lived up to their end of the bargain, really.
Look, and I've loved it from a Wisconsin perspective because Wisconsin, again, and people rightly so, say that those are the two top teams in the Big Ten. And from facilities and income and everything else, Ohio State and Michigan are those two teams. When you look at how many Big Ten championships Wisconsin's been able to win, a lot of it is because Michigan hasn't lived up to billing. And they just take care of their business. But when you talk about recruits and getting five stars and having access to like the best of the best in the country, Michigan's right there.
Yeah. I feel like if Michigan was an SEC team, they'd probably be like an Auburn.
Not bad.
Yeah. Like if Ohio State and Michigan are Bama and LSU, then Wisconsin is probably Auburn and Michigan State is the Aggies.
It's not bad.
Although Michigan State's had more success than the Aggies.
The difference is that Auburn's going to sniff a national title and be in the mix when they you know, get that once every couple of years where they get a special couple of talents.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's not going to be that. Wisconsin doesn't get five-star recruits. They get offensive linemen that are going to end up in the NFL, but in terms of getting a great quarterback, give me the last great quarterback in Wisconsin.
Why is that?
And the crazy thing is,
but you know what?
There's
LSU
been 11
was like
of them that have been backup quarterbacks in the NFL forever and a day.
But again, LSU was the same way until they opened up the offense, and everybody's like, whoa, this kid, look at this. LSU's got a quarterback. So maybe Wisconsin needs to take a page out of LSU's book just like Michigan needs
to. Now, they
got
a really highly – I think he's a four-star that's a freshman, that quarterback, that they're expecting big things from. But we'll see how that goes. It's crazy. Like I said, you don't have a quarterback that ever ends up being big time in the NFL or throws it hardly at all in college, and they all end up being longtime backups in the NFL
except
and
Russell
offensive
Wilson.
Coordinators. He had 1 year there.
Well, it counts.
Okay. 1 year in the history of Wisconsin football.
Cam played with Sam Houston. Go Bearcats!
There you go. Eat them up. All right. We're going to continue to roll on. Eating them up. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Rolling through the final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, here's a tip.
Hey. Check out the kid of the sombrero.
Check out the chick of the sombrero. Holy cow. If you're having problems with the signal, check out ESPN975.com. If you go to ESPN975.com, you can download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere. Clear, crystal clear quality sound. And while you're there, if you miss any of the show today, including Alice Little, go to the top of the page where it says the ESPN show line, and you can see the usual suspects. Click on that, and you can get to the hours of the show you might have missed.
What a wild ride it was yesterday for UH Cougs.
Yeah.
First he redshirts, then he redshirts and leaves. Now he's redshirting but not leaving. What the hell?
I don't think that's a good sign, but maybe it was false reporting. I don't want to, you know, throw anybody under the bus, but at the same time, I don't like the feeling of that. The fact that all right, he was initially redshirted. There was a report that said his father confirmed it. Now I'm here to be a Coug. And look, I'm not mad at him because he has to do whatever's best for him. I just feel like there's more to the story than we know.
His quote was, I came here to play football for the University of Houston, and that is not changing.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I'll tell you what. The more I thought about it, too, because look, he didn't lie. He's redshirting. But the thought was he was redshirting at first. He was going to stay. Then he was going to go. Then he was going to stay. Obviously, he said he was going to meet with Dana first. Maybe Dana really did a heck of a sales job on year two when he starts getting recruits in and how the program's going to take a huge step up again and he's going to be the focus of it. And maybe that made a difference. All I know is that when you look at the things, the situation in the NFL, there's always a trickle-down effect in sports when you watch what happens in different leagues or in different situations. You look at what's happened with the Ezekiel Elliott holdout. You look at how the trend in the NFL is, even if you've got, it used to be if you only had a year left in your deal, would you even consider holding out? But now with 2+, because the guys that are holding out for 2+ are winning, that they're getting the bargaining power. It's not an unintelligent move from the standpoint of if you want to play on a win for a winning team and you know how bad this team has looked under as we talked to the transition to get to Dana and then Dana getting his players in, that if it says it in the rules that you can do it and you can take advantage of it and it's in your best interest, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be hurt anymore and have some kind of fake injury to try and do this kind of thing. I'm not mad at him for doing it, but I will say this. It's a bad look in his locker room if it looks like, hey, I don't think y'all are good enough, but next year I'm coming back when we're going to have a better team.
Yeah, if I'm a senior and I'm right. not one of the ones redshirting and being saved, then that kind of hurts. But let's be real. If you look at the second half of that game against Tulane that they lost, it's bad coaching. Did the team quit on him? What happened there? I mean, that's all. Does he have this team? Is that why you end up losing a game like that, because you don't have the team and you don't have their focus? That's preparation. That's a lot of things. Just a bad look all the way around.
Yep.
And you can say, well, Dana needs his guys, but you were up big in that game. That's a game you're supposed to win. You can't necessarily blame the guys. That's your coaching staff has to prevent that from happening.
But okay, and to Nick, to your point, my rebuttal to that would be, I think it's a much worse look. If he goes somewhere else, because that's him saying this is a crap show.
Right.
This is just.
And that's my fear, is that he sits out. I mean, I don't know how it works in terms of can he change his mind, but like he sits out. You are the focus. You are the face of the program, and all of a sudden, you're not playing anymore. I just feel like in this day and age, it's hard for kids to just stay still and not play in this situation. And they're going to want to be out in the spotlight. And I see him tweeting more down the line if he's just not playing. I don't like that. There's got to be more to it. If there isn't, look, great for King for staying. I'm a Houston alum. I want him to stay. And I think it is, like Barry said, I think if you're a senior not redshirting, I think, you know, you get the raw end of the deal. But it is what it is. The program is obviously not in a place where it has been in the past. And they need to work on changing that. And I think Dana's the guy they're going to have to depend on right now for the foreseeable future to change that. So,
and look, he created a culture and rebuilt West Virginia in a lot of ways and put a good product on the field.
He did.
I firmly believe he can do the same thing with U of H. I think he's definitely a huge step up from what they had with Applewhite. So I just think, like I said, I keep saying he's got to get his players in here. And that's what I believe. When he does that, that he will have this program going in the right direction. This is just not something I think that anybody from U of H wanted to see happen in terms of it's kind of a bad look. So we'll see, you know, what they are able to do going forward with this. Because the other fear I have, because they said part of his quote was, I want to get better. I want to become a better player. But I also want to get my studies going. And so I'm on track to graduate and things like that. If they go and he gets on track and he gets ahead on coursework and he graduates, now he can just, and he's a redshirt, now focus he can just get football. Up and leave, go somewhere else, play somewhere else right away and be done with it.
Yeah. Or focus on football. So, I guess it just depends on how you look at it.
Right. So we'll see what happens. We got some calls here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Keith wanted to talk. We were talking in the previous segment about coaches getting second chances. He wanted to chime in on that. Keith, go ahead, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Y'all kind of sparked them in my brain about the coaches and second chances. I got to thinking about Belichick with the Browns, went to the Patriots, success story. Pete Carroll with the Patriots, mm-hmm. goes to USC and Seattle, success story. And a guy most people won't think about, but Gary Kubiak, minimal success here, but goes to Denver, wins the Super Bowl, and right now he's got Minnesota's offense looking A-plus. So it may be a small window of success, or it may be sustained success like the Patriots. But a lot of coaches who get second chances, you know, they learn how to coach and get the right people and the right staff, right personnel. They may have a chance.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, he makes some good points. The crazy thing about Kubiak in Minnesota is they're doing it on the ground.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook's a beast.
Yeah, you would have thought for sure that this would be, you know, especially with Kubiak.
With those two receivers.
He likes to, you know, do that bootleg action and the tight ends at three levels and all that. And this is a run-oriented team.
Well, so. I think that's more of an indication of your quarterback and him having to knows his limitations with Kirk Cousins.
Could be.
As opposed to, you know, maximizing the rest of the weapons on the field because you got two all-world receivers.
Yeah, but you also got an all-world running back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But the balance is something in the NFL. And, you know, Gary likes to run the football.
He does.
But at the same time, take advantage of Kyle Rudolph should be getting the ball more, and he's not. And part of the reason why is he doesn't have the kind of guy that can deliver it to him. Not that Gary didn't have experience with quarterbacks that were limited.
I was gonna say, he made Schaub look good.
Yeah, and people forget the one year that he was the OC with Baltimore and the Ravens and had Flacco in that team looking good. So, you know, some guys are better said to be coordinators than head coaches, too. We talk about Wade Phillips all the time. Wasn't great as a head coach, but everywhere he's gone as a D coordinator, he's gotten it done, had the respect of his players, and has been effective. So,
yeah. Chuck Pagano, I think, is another guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's better as a coordinator than a head coach.
I would say that's accurate.
Yeah. And not that he was bad with the Colts. He also had some medical issues, which is where Bruce Arians filled in for him when Bruce Arians, I believe, won Coach of the Year because of that. But, yeah, I mean, it also doesn't hurt, too, if you're Chuck Pagano and your next defensive coordinator job, you get the Bears defense.
Yeah.
That's a plus. Do you have, this is your guy.
Yeah, let's just. Why is it my guy? It's Nick's guy.
It's both of
you, Dylan.
Dylan wants to talk about the flood in Houston. Dylan, what's up, man?
Well, not really the flood in Houston. I mean, I know you guys did get a pretty good bit out there, but, man, your boys out here in the 409, we've been trying to dry out the last couple of days, man, and I just wanted to thank you guys. It's been pretty tough. Way tougher on a lot of other folks, not just myself out here, but ripping Sheetrock out and Harvey 2.0. Just to hear you guys' voice and all that again, just kind of warms the heart again to hear such quality radio midday.
Well, we appreciate that, yeah, buddy,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Dylan. I was waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say something about Nick being fat.
Guys,
but
guys, come on. You know me better than that. I mean, my little area of Beaumont, actually, just south of Beaumont, little farm community called Finette. We took on 44 and a half inches in one night, which is more than Nick's ever had. So
I think that's
impressive
see?
That we beat anything he's got.
He got it in there. He got his shot in. All right, LU Dylan, we appreciate the call,
man,
sir.
Good luck, Dylan.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Hang in there.
I hate it, man. I hate it. My heart broke for the Golden Triangle.
No doubt.
Just when you're getting rebuilt. Same thing with Kingwood, but yeah, that Beaumont area, Winnie.
Well, and Winnie was
just took it
very close to where Dylan's talking about, and they said up to 40 inches of rain there. So that's a massive amount of water. I don't think I-10 has been completely opened back up yet because of all the issues that they had with all the flooding.
In that area, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
So,
I mean, it was pretty bad.
And at least the one bridge is still being assessed for damage before they open it up on I-10. So, you know, the cleanup's not going to be overnight. There's still a ton of work to be done. So our hearts go out to those people out there, especially the great people that are suspects that we see when we drive down there once
a week. Yeah, man, it sucks. Hey, you know what doesn't suck, though? Getting money back. That does not suck at all. And you can do that with GetUpside, guys. If you have not downloaded GetUpside, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? You're crazy. You're wasting money. You're leaving money at the table. You're leaving money at the pump. I don't know what to do with you. Do yourself a favor, though. Trust me on this. There's no catch. There's no gimmicks. You're not locked in anything. Trust Uncle Barry here. Go download GetUpside and put it on your phone. First things first. Then put in my promo code Barry. And then start getting cash back, man. When you go home and you have to stop and get gas. I have to stop and get gas today. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it through the GetUpside app, and I'm going to get cash back while I do it. And I haven't even looked around here in the Galleria yet to see what my options are, but I can pull up the map. This is what's cool about it. As I open the app, I pull up the map. Oh, look at that. 15 cents a gallon cash back at the Shell station right over there in Uptown. Well, I guess I know where I'm getting gas today, so I can get my 15 cents a gallon cash back. What about you? How much are you going to get back? If you're not using GetUpside, chances are zero. That means you're wasting money. So do yourself a favor right now. Go put that app on your phone. It's in both of the app stores. It's all one word, GetUpside. And same thing, if you stop to grab some dinner, you could get up to 35% cash back. Y'all, this app was featured on ABC 13. It's legitimate. I use it. A lot of folks at the station use it. I had a listener text me. They update me all the time. They're up to $500 in their account. Where's your $500? Huh? Where is it? Well, if you're not using GetUpside, it's with all these businesses and companies that you're going and getting gas from and eating at because you're not using the app. So do yourself a favor right now. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday in the big city. Wherever you may be. Didn't know if you saw this or not, boys, but we know that the number one priority of the Houston Astros now that they've won the division is the Yankees. We talked earlier about Aaron Boone talking about going to a three-man rotation for the playoffs.
Yes.
Now they are saying that Gary Sanchez is hoping to return for the playoffs.
Don't like it.
Well, but you got to see if he's going to be able to play and will he be 100% because if it's a groin and he's a catcher,
true.
Not exactly ideal.
Although playoff Gary Sanchez is bad, so I might be all right with that. He's kind of like playoff Maldonado.
In terms of defensively, you should be running on Gary Sanchez in the playoffs whenever you get the chance.
Anytime Gary Pettis sends everybody home because you know he can't catch the ball at home plate.
That's right.
So I'm down with that.
So we'll see how that goes. Other baseball news that we missed over the weekend and heading into the start of this week with all the stuff we had going on yesterday. Padres fired their manager after four uneventful seasons. Ned Yost retiring at the end of the year as the manager of the Royals. So we know that there are two teams that are going to be looking for managers, as well as Bruce Bochy stepping away at the end of the year. So the baseball vacancies are going to be out there from that standpoint. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not. We talked about it a while back because we were talking about would you give it back? What would you do if you caught a very key home run ball?
Mm-hmm.
And we had mentioned that the guy in Detroit that caught the Albert Pujols home run that was also his 2,000th RBI had gotten all these offers, said he was going to keep it, didn't like the fact that the team and team security and everybody else was trying to get him to give it up. Now, just kind of under the radar, he donated it to the Hall of Fame.
That's cool.
And he passed up on all of the lucrative opportunities. And he said he wanted to do what he did in the name of his son, who unfortunately passed away, who was named after Cy Young, who was 21 months old and passed away. And he wanted to be able to tell his daughter what they did, tell her about the whole thing, say it all happened for the right reasons, and to remember her brother. So he passed up what he said was in the ballpark of $50,000.
Good for him.
So he made the right move. Yeah. So
you know, you mentioned the Padres firing their manager.
Yep.
Some other guys, and you know, we talked about Miami, the Dolphins, and already looking to make changes. Mm-hmm. Boy, it does not pay to be a manager during a rebuild. And I know Ned Yost kind of rode the wave through the Kansas City rebuild, and right. He says that's why he's going to retire now because he feels like they're through the worst of it and they should be on the uptick. But there's just no glory in managing during a rebuild. I was thinking about this because you look at AJ Hinch. He came in 2015 and had some success, but they had some talent. Mm-hmm. But those years, those lean years – you don't want to pass up an opportunity to become a head coach or a manager
sure.
or whatever it is, but you know that you're almost doomed for failure.
Well, you are.
Unless you go out and say, like the Royals did, look, Ned Yost, we know you know what you're doing. We're going to rebuild, and we want you to be here. We're not going to fire you. You're a godsend. Like, if the Astros, God forbid, ever go through another rebuild and A.J. Hinch is here, he's not going to get a quick hook necessarily because you don't just forget how to manage.
But I think that there's something to be said now when you hear about all the guys that say it's not just jumping at the first opportunity that presents itself. It's jumping at the opportunity that best presents itself as a fit for you. Because at the end of the day, you know as well as I do, if the Astros or any other team in baseball was looking for a manager, the first thing you're going to look at is what's their record? What have they done? And whether it was a rebuild or not, and it was already discussed, and it was part of the overall plan, the fact of the matter is when people looked at it, they're going to go, you know what? You lost 73% of your games, and I'm not sure that you're going to be the guy that's going to take control of my locker room and get this team to be playing winning baseball.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult proposition because you look at a Brian Flores mm-hmm. and you look at how ugly that situation is in Miami, and you can make the comparisons. If they're already talking, and it's not his doing. Because you know what? You go back to the Parcell adage again. If you don't have a say-so in any of the groceries in the cupboard, how can you be responsible for the quality of the product that you put for dinner on the table?
But take the Astros, for example. When you're Brad Mills and you take the opportunity to manage a bad team, you know you're managing a bad team. And no matter how good you manage, they're not going to be good. And Bo Porter was just bad at his job.
A bad fit, yeah.
But he wasn't good. And I don't think he made some dumb mistakes as a manager that he didn't know the rules of baseball. It was ugly. But, you know, you sign up, you know that you're going to be fighting with one hand tied behind your back, but you take that opportunity. So do you really penalize a guy like Brad Mills and say, well, he's not a good manager because he managed a terrible team?
You shouldn't, but they do, because where's Brad Mills managed since then?
He hasn't. He didn't have a job before.
Yeah, he's a bench coach with Tito Francona in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bo Porter was a longtime base coach, mm-hmm. last with the Nationals. And, you know, some guys are right for the gig and some guys aren't. But regardless, I think to the point you brought up, I think a lot of guys are going to get either fairly or unfairly labeled based on their record regardless. Because when they look at it, they're not going to take the time in a lot of ways to go, well, that was a complete rebuild, and they didn't really have a lot on the roster. The first thing that everybody's going to start hammering on, as an organization, you should. But I'm talking about from the media, from the fan base, from everybody, they're going to go, oh, he's a loser.
Mm, I guess. But that's why I ask. If you were toiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a bench coach somewhere. You've been paying your dues for 20 years. Or let's just use it in radio terms. You've been working overnights and you know, some bad Poughkeepsie. But then some other market is saying, hey, we're going to put you a midday, but you know this isn't a no-win. You're up against some ratings juggernauts like the usual suspects, and you're just not going to win. Do you take that opportunity anyways? As a manager, as a coach, a bench coach, do you take the job just to have the opportunity?
I think you have to have someone in your corner, whether you do it yourself or someone else, that negotiates the financial terms and the term of the deal. Because I think that the worst thing you can do is be a guy like Brian Flores. First time, young, raw. So you already know the organization's not going to pay you like they would an established name that comes in to coach your team. And then on top of it, if it's a short-term deal, Now you're really in a bad situation. The only reason why you should do that is because you can't prove yourself until you get talent or on your roster that knows your culture, that can execute the system the way you want it to be executed, right? So when you look at it, the worst case scenario is the perfect storm for the franchise is, well, I'm going to get him young and cheap, and I'm going to get him to get us through these lean years while we try and rebuild the roster and replenish everything we need, and then we'll get a big name. And then you're labeled, you never made the money, so you never get. So that's why I'm saying try to get that kind of deal where you get 5 years and it's all guaranteed money and it's at a pretty good rate.
You're set for life.
So that even if they do fire you, I mean, take the Kevin McHale situation, you know, or the Rick Adelman situation.
But those weren't rebuilds. I'm talking rebuilds. I'm talking
true.
You know.
And I get it's different with a rebuild. Know. But the good news is from a McHale standpoint, he didn't care if Les fired him because he's walking away at $6 million a year for 2.5 more years. So that's what I'm saying. If you get into a rebuild situation, make sure that you say, look, I already know, and you're telling me whether they tell you or not, that this is going to be a tough deal. So make it worth my while.
Because, okay, like two examples that we mentioned, Brian Flores earlier going to the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. You know you're going into a rebuild. You know you're going into a bad situation. Kitchen's going to the Cleveland. Browns. That's a bit different. You got new management. They're going out and making moves to get better. So I see if you're offered the Browns gig, and they look like they're trying to make a move to be better, you take that gig. But if I'm Brian Flores, I might have passed on the Dolphins job.
Cliff Kingsbury with the Cardinals. You know,
see, that's kind
you're going to go cheap on borderline. The contract because it's his first time in the NFL, and it's a prove-it thing, but it's also a prove-it thing with a guy that's a known commodity in college. So you're wanting to see if it translates. But if it doesn't, from a franchise standpoint, it's pretty easy to pull the plug.
But that's a no risk, really, for Kingsbury, because he knows he can go back and coach college and be successful. So you take the money, you take the opportunity. If you do good, great. If you don't, just go back to college. And you'll be a coordinator for a year or two.
But that's why I say that's where the agent steps in and says, okay, with all those factors that you just mentioned, I'm still going to need 3 or 4 years, because if it doesn't work and it fails, I at least want him to get something to make it worth his while, because otherwise all he did is stain his reputation.
Life. Yeah, that's not a bad, how much is your reputation worth? If I know that I'm set for life, my kids are set for life because of this contract, I probably am Brian Flores and say, yeah, I'll coach these raggedy-ass Dolphins.
And, in the rare scenario where they win – Or they really start going on the uptick.
Yeah,
now you get a bigger contract and you get known by everybody. Because the other situation is the Cardinals as an example, but as a defensive coordinator, he's now the D coordinator for the Browns. But after 1 year, everybody said, greatest guy on the planet, unbelievable defensive coordinator, man of the people, the players love him, bring him in for a year. Wait, Cliff Kingsbury's available?
Steve Wilkes.
Yeah. Then boom, okay, you're gone, Kingsbury's in.
Yeah, he got it.
What did he get out of it? Yeah. You got to at least get your contract, get some money so you can walk away, save some face knowing I got some security.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting scenario, but we'll see what happens in baseball. Baseball's different, but in some ways, but, you got to be able to get that next gig one way or the other. We got one segment to go on the show. We're going to turn over to the Blitz at 4 o'clock. They're going to take you all the way till 7. All you got to do is keep it tuned right here.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final segment of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday, as we have spanned the globe, ran the gamut, covered a lot of bases, sports and otherwise.
I was going to see how many of those you could come up with.
I could keep going. speaking of bases, by the way, see, Scott Boras is not happy. Chris Bryant slipped on a wet base.
Uh-oh.
Sprained his ankle.
Uh-oh.
And this is the second Boras client that has done such. Bryce Harper also did this. And now he's mad and says MLB should do something about it.
Flat bases.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Rain
delays in baseball. You're going to do like textured mesh bases, and then the cleats are going to get stuck in them, and then you're going to have bigger issues?
Virtual bases. They're not even there. It's just dirt.
Then she's going to change it from Area 69 to...
Nope. Don't. Please don't do this.
Blocking the plate.
I begged you.
I mean, what else would you call it?
I don't know. I would have never attempted to call
stealing
it.
Stealing bags?
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Good contact, good wood.
I begged you.
Turn
my mic off, Nick.
I have very, very bad news for you guys.
Oh, no!
You guys are both going to be very disappointed. Remember how we talking weeks back about Bagel Guy?
Yes.
And then Bagel Guy was going to fight Lenny Dykstra?
Yes.
And they were making a big deal about it?
Yes.
Well, then they had a press conference, and Lenny Dykstra tried to be all big and badass and actually tried to beat him up right there at the press conference.
What?
Yeah. So they had a press conference, and Dykstra tried to be all tough, and they first started kind of clowning around, and then he started like trying to mess with Bagel Guy's hat and his face. Next thing you know, he's trying to pull the T-shirt over his head, and he's throwing blows, and they had to separate
legitimate blows or just like
and,
fake?
And so everybody was fired up about the fight, and I'll show you the press conference here. So he starts by screwing around a little bit, tapping him on the head, and it looks like it's all playful fun. But we know how these fight press conferences go. Then Lenny's like, you know what? Done playing around. I'm going to start trying to get tough.
He looked like he got a little angry there.
So, yeah. So they tussle, and Lenny gets the shirt off of Bagel Guy. Well, you don't want to see that
because
Guy's not exactly been working out for
like
this fight.
He looks like he eats a lot of bagels.
But people got more fired up for the fact that, hey.
Why is he going for a single leg on the guy trying to break it up? This is weirdness.
And Dykstra's already had quite a checkered past, right? But everybody, because of all this, thought, hey, this fight might be pretty good to watch.
No. Well, I don't want to watch that. Well, yeah. Dude, Bagel Guy should only fight other celebrities like Webster or Gary Coleman. I don't even know if these guys are alive anymore.
Passed.
Okay. Well, he might win. Like, you don't want him to fight anybody. Like, an athlete? That guy's not. He's, what, 5'3"?
He's not tall.
Okay.
Don't
say the M word.
No, that's what you guys do.
I mean.
Yeah. Dykstra withdrew from the boxing match.
Good.
So he can focus properly on preparing for an upcoming trial, and it will not be rescheduled. He's the plaintiff in an upcoming trial filing a $15 million lawsuit against L.A. County and multiple deputies claiming he was severely beaten while serving a jail sentence in 2012 for charges of grand theft auto and filing false financial statements. To make matters more dicey, at the time of this article coming up, organizers of the Celebrity Boxing match claim the match is still happening because Dykstra already received his payday and he's been spending it the past 2 weeks in a hotel on the organizer's dime.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody raided Area 69.
Celebrity boxing promoter Damon Feldman told the Post that Dykstra never gave anybody a heads up that he was backing out, and it's like he robbed us. He's a bum. This is an absolute disgrace. It's a black eye in the face of celebrity boxing.
A black eye.
Black eye.
Oh. Wait a second. Hold on. Stop. Don't read anymore.
I'm done.
This dude out here is saying that this is a disgrace to, quote, celebrity boxing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the disgrace is. Celebrity boxing is the disgrace.
I agree.
Who, stop acting like, oh, you're really damaging our credibility. You have none, celebrity boxing guy. It's celebrity boxing. It's a sideshow. It's lower than the circus. It's ridiculousness. And you acting like that somehow Lenny Dykstra going on a bender is ruining celebrity boxing is as hilarious as Lenny Dykstra going on a bender and trying to fight a guy that's 5'1".
But if you remember, Dykstra has been into so much trouble, and a lot of it financially driven, drug related. Then when Ron Darling wrote his book that came out this year, he made mention of the fact that while they were players on the field, that Dykstra made racially insensitive remarks to his teammates. Dykstra was like, I'm going to make you pay. Defamation, I'm going to sue you for that. Then there was kind of they caught him in a parking garage where they set him up, and he just was trying to get in some illegal activity. It's like, this dude is not a stand-up guy.
No, but you're going to sit there and bitch about him ruining the integrity of celebrity boxing and you're hiring him? Please, punch yourself in the face.
And it's on you for giving him the money up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me trust Lenny Dykstra with
here's
money
the guy
up front.
That gets, here, I'm holding
OJ,
with me.
Here's some money.
I'm holding a suitcase full of your cash. You will get this at the completion of the match.
That's just dumb.
So it's off.
Yeah.
So we can't see Bagel Guy get what he deserves.
I just want to see Bagel Guy get his ass whooped. I don't care.
That's what I mean.
I don't care if it's celebrity boxing or in the streets. I just want someone to whoop this dude's ass. That's it. That would be nice.
I think he's all talk and no action, so I'm with you. That's why I said everybody wanted to see the Bagel Guy get his. Now he's not going to get his.
He's the human version of a chihuahua. Just out there just yapping and yapping and yapping, and he ain't going to hurt nobody. That's what he is.
Or a chihuahua.
Could be that.
Right?
That's right.
Also, this that actually comes from the city of Houston. I saw it on the news last night. A Houston man forged his wife's signature on divorce papers, got divorced.
He's a DJ.
Got remarried. Yeah, he travels and everything. He's also in a band or something.
Somebody said DJ Nix, or his name is Nix.
Paul Nixon is his name. He forged his wife's signature, and his now ex-wife had no idea they were divorced. And he showed up at court proceedings in downtown Houston yesterday holding hands with his wife. So they said, so did you know he was filing divorce papers with you? And he goes, oh, no, that's my new wife. And we're happy.
Yeah, he goes, finally.
Yeah, he got divorced and got remarried.
But the divorce isn't legal.
It
because
is not.
So now the marriage isn't legal. So, boy, DJ Nix really screwed it all up.
That's a mixtape he wants back.
Man, why do you think you would get away? And apparently, he's already done time for forgery.
Yeah,
why do you think you would get away with that? I don't even use my wife's credit card when I'm out.
I don't either.
I'm like, no, I can't sign your name like you do, and then I'm going to get in trouble. You're trying to set me up to go to jail, aren't you? I don't think so, lady.
You drive Nora's car?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll drive Lisa's car, but I just know I don't want to hear about it, like, from the moving the mirrors.
The seat back.
Yeah, and the seat and all that. It's just, I was like, I'd rather just take
that's why
mine.
You have the memory the seat buttons on the memory.
You're fancy. You know I don't use that.
I program that before I take off. That way, when I get out, I just put the memory back. Yeah. And then she can't complain.
I could do that.
The mirrors, I don't touch. I just have to figure out how to be seen in them. Yeah. I'm with you, though. Yeah, I don't.
Just stay away from it.
Yeah.
Avoid the hassle.
Does Lisa ever drive your car?
No.
But you drive her car?
Occasionally.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Is that sexist? Does that, like, with your women, do you ever drive, do they ever drive your car or do you drive their car, Nicholas?
When I was in a longer relationship, she was okay with driving, but it was rare.
Right. You always drove either your car or her car. Because that's always the question,
right? You're always the driver, though, right?
Yeah. It's like, which car do you want to take is the question. Right after it takes you 9 hours to figure out where you're going to eat. Then it takes four more hours to figure out which car you're going to take to go to this place to eat. But there's never a question of who's going to drive. We are their chauffeurs. No matter what. Now, I will say this. Nora gets so mad because I'm aggressive and angry. And like... we were cutting through, I forget, I think it was when we were leaving to go out of town to Corpus. Mm-hmm. We were over there near, we came to the station and leaving, and some guy was like just sitting in the middle of the road, and I honked at him, and he gave me the finger, and I gave him the finger, and he put his car in park, and I'm like, well, come on in. I'm motioning, and Nora is losing her mind.
Nora in the car, you did this?
I mean, you know, sometimes you can't help
it. A homeless guy?
No,
it was a guy in a car driving across he cut. There was like, it was all backed up. It was
a
long story.
I'm not doing any of this fighting with Lisa in the car.
No, that's why she gets so mad. Oh, she hates me. For a lot of reasons, but also my driving.
I was going to say.
Okay.
All right. One more day of Nick tomorrow on a Way Back Wednesday.
Thank God.
What is Way Back Wednesday?
Yeah, what is it?
The celebration?
Celebration. The songs about celebration.
I think that's dumb, but I'll go with it.
I'll allow it.
Just kidding.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, folks. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.